So I got a message last evening from Pastor Mon in Nepal. He said, "I want to thank you for your prayer, financial support, moral support throughout the year. With God's help, through your support, many people got privileged to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have experienced the power of God in their life. Throughout the year, through our team, God has healed many people physically. Above all, God in his mercy saved 130 souls through our team and have started 3 new fellowships in new villages. One Christian research mentioned recently there are 94,000 villages in Nepal, but there is only church in 10,000 villages. It means there is no church in 84,000 villages yet. As Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It means massive work is yet to be done. So I want to thank all of you for what you have been doing for the extension of the kingdom of God in Nepal. Request for your continual partnership and even more to extend the kingdom of God in Nepal. Thanks, Pastor Mon." So I want to share a message, and thank you, Jeffrey, for leading that song, Heaven Came Down. I didn't ask him to do that. But a few years back, quite a few years back, about 45, 50 years ago, I heard the author of that song, Ray Overholt, share his testimony at the Battle Creek Rescue Mission banquet. He was an older man when he got saved. He lived in Battle Creek. And he was an older man when he got saved, and God really moved in his life, and that was his testimony of what God did for him. I was thinking on these verses in Luke chapter 2. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were scared to death. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Behold, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which are going to be to all people." I was thinking about that a little bit. And the picture I got in my mind was God shining his spotlight from heaven down to those shepherds. The angel of God came down, brought the light of God, a glowing light. And that happened on a number of occasions where an angel came and light was there. It happened to Peter in prison. It happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. A number of occasions. And I don't know about you, but it would be very, very normal to be scared to death. I mean, probably those shepherds were sleeping, and all of a sudden this light brighter than the sun comes beaming down on them, and they know that something miraculous is happening. This is not a normal light. This is something going on that is just totally different. So I want us to picture this. This is kind of crude, but I want us to picture this, that Jesus came down from heaven bringing the Father's glory, and he went back to heaven after his time on earth, back to his glory, but he left the glory here for us. And I want us to kind of keep that picture in mind as we go through this. Not only did he bring the glory down, but he also brought joy with that. We want to look at that. So one of the questions I want us to think about this morning, and by the way, if I hobble around here, don't get too worried about me. I'm supposed to have hip surgery in May, so I'm just not quite walking like I'd like to, but I don't like to just stand still either. So let me ask you a question first. What is heaven? Where God lives? So, if it's where God lives, what is it? Is it a city? Is it a place? Is it a mystical thing somewhere? What all is heaven? Is it a kingdom? Is heaven a kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. So here's another question for you to think about. I'm not going to answer all these questions. I want you to think about some of them. So if we're going to go to heaven, why do we pray for heaven to come here? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we're going to go there, why do we pray for it to come here? Just some thinking questions, okay? Another question. Why is glory such an important part of God's message to us? Glory, the expression of glory is something that is over and over and over. It was the glory of the Lord that led the children of Israel. That pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night was the Shekinah glory of God. That expression of God Himself being there. I'll go before you. I'll be there with you. And I want us to keep in mind as we think about this that joy also is part of that glory. So let me ask you something else then. Is joy part of spirit, soul, or body? As people, we are three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. This is the way I teach it. I am spirit. I possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions. I live in a body temporarily. So which of those three parts is joy part of? Spirit? Okay. It affects all three, but joy enters through our spirit. We cannot bring joy in from our body and put it into our spirit. It has to come into our spirit and go into our soul and into our body. Okay? That's important for us to remember. What about happiness? What part of those three parts, which of those three parts is happiness part of? Soul? And probably our body too, right? But it's basically our soul, our mind, will, and emotion. So remember that as we go through this. Now, I want us to remember something. This is key. Before the world began, Christ was with the Father, and He had glory. This is important for us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says this: He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which, pay attention to these words, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. God gave us His grace, His purpose, before the world began in Christ Jesus, while Christ was there with Him in glory. And Peter says it this way: He was, this is talking about Christ, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested, was declared in these last days for you. So he says His glory was back there in the beginning, and now that glory has flown through His appearance here on earth to us in these last days. So I want us to get this. Here's what John says. Jesus is praying in John 17. Father, glorify Thou me with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. And on down in the same chapter, verse 24. Father, I want, my desire, my will, this is like a will that we give out as human beings. My will, I'm declaring my intent, my will. I will that they also, whom You've given me, be with me where I am. Wait a minute. Where is He? You need to really pay attention when you read these scriptures, because Jesus is talking in multiple dimensions. He's here on earth, right? But He says, Father, I want You, my desire, my will is that they be with me where I am there, that they may behold my glory, which You've given me, for You loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, I say this is so key, so important, and the reason I say that is because it's mentioned so often. There are so many indicators from the Scripture that Jesus was there with the Father before the world began, and He lived in glory. Not in a place of glory, but He possessed glory. Okay? Now, Habakkuk talks about it this way. He says, the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. One day, God's glory is going to cover the earth just like the waters cover the sea. What's that going to look like? Has that happened? When's it going to happen? Some questions that we may not have the answer for. And then when I thought about that, I thought about the song. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth, just like the water covers the sea. When we receive that glory, it covers us. It overwhelms us. It fills us with joy. So, Here's Christ before the world began living with his Father in his glory. It's his own. He possesses it. It belongs to him, just like life belongs to him. Just like love belongs to him. It's who he is. It's not something that is given and taken. It's part of his character, part of who he is. But at the perfect time, the perfect moment, God sent his Son to earth. Now, you may wonder why Jesus came when he came. You may wonder why he came where he came. You may wonder a number of questions about that. But you need to remember it was the perfect time. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, it was the perfect time. God sent forth his Son. That, you know, it's just like I pictured for you in the beginning. God sent forth his Son. He turned on the light from heaven, and that light shone down onto earth. And that light started when Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that light became displayed when Jesus was born. And it became full and complete as he lived and declared the Father, and as he was crucified and resurrected. That light became complete and flows through us today. So it's at the perfect time. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, Christ, is the Lord from heaven. And then I thought about the song we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there's a phrase in there says this, mild, he laid his glory by. When he came to earth, he laid his glory aside and humbled himself and became as a man. Philippians chapter 2. As he came to earth, he was the perfect declaration of the Father. So that light that shined was like it was like a tunnel that was coming to earth. The Father was declaring himself on earth as God. And Jesus was the one who was able to do that. In him, Colossians 2:9, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all the glory, all the joy, all the love, all the everything that's there in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived here on earth in Jesus Christ. Everything. He is the fullness of God bodily on earth. And I always like Hebrews chapter 1 there so much. He's the radiance. He's that bright light. Just like that light shined from heaven, from the angel to the shepherds. He's that glow, that brightness. That's the radiance of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The King James says the express image of his person. So he's declaring and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. But we're looking at this concept right now that he's the perfect declaration of the Father. So he came to show us God. to show us the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why he came. That's why I've said before, and I say it again, if you are having difficulty understanding Scripture, what the meaning is, what the application is, what the purpose is, go back to Jesus. The Scripture, the Word, the written Word, does not show us anything different than Him. He's the express image of the Father. He has declared perfectly his own character as he lived here on earth. So when we look at the Scripture and you're having difficulty, you know, untangling it, unraveling it, people come up with all kinds of ideas, go back and look at the life of Christ. That is a key that has been so helpful to me. And you just stop and think about this a little bit. What was the problem that the Pharisees had? Did they understand the Scripture, the Old Testament that was given to them? Did they understand it? In one sense, yes. In another sense, no. In the sense that's no, why did they not understand it? Because they refused to see Jesus as the expression of God. And I think that same truth applies to us today. If we have difficulty, if we misunderstand the Scripture, the Word, because He is the Word. It's not just a book. He is the Word. And we'll look at that a little bit. So just keep that in mind as you think about who He is and what He's done. So Paul asks this question in Romans 8. Who's going to condemn you? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. So when Paul is writing this, that cycle has been complete. Christ has brought the glory of God to earth. He's lived out that glory. He's passed it on to us. And he's gone back to that place of glory. The glory that he laid aside, he's taken again. And he's worthy. He deserves that. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If we're Christ, we belong to Christ, then our affection, Paul says there in Colossians, ought to be not on things of the earth, but on things in heaven. Well, yeah, if our affection is Christ, you know, think about it. Now, I said that this whole thing of glory and joy is interconnected. So there is complete glory and joy in the presence of Jesus, in God's presence. David recognized this. He says, you'll show me, Psalm 16:11, you'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, remember the verse we looked at earlier that said Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Who's at the right hand? Jesus. So David was not talking about something mystical or something that we cannot lay hold of. He's talking about Christ. Prophetically, he is speaking about Christ. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Your glory, your joy has been revealed. Through Christ, and now we can have it. It can be ours. I'll just say this. There have been several times in my life when I have experienced joy that I almost couldn't handle. And I'm not saying this because of me. I'm saying it because of him. Because he is where fullness of joy comes in. But I think that God has allowed me to experience that fullness of joy enough to make me hungry for it, to make me long to live in that, to be in that presence. It's just amazing, just totally amazing. Interesting that with his coming, with that glory coming to earth, is so much connection to joy. You know, after the angels left the shepherds went and found the baby, and they had joy. The wise men, when they saw the star, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. What does that look like to you? But what do you see the wise men doing? Oh, this is really wonderful. God is showing us his son. That kind of what you're picturing? Exceeding joy? I get a little different picture than that. In Luke 2 there, the verses we already looked at, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I am bringing you good tidings of great joy." So we have exceeding joy, we have great joy, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Their hearts were full of joy. There's great joy in his presence. Hebrews chapter 2. "You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet." So Jesus Christ was crowned with the glory of God. He laid that glory down. It's like he took off his crown, came to earth, and went back, and he was given back his crown, his glory. And along with that, he carried that joy from the Father. Interesting, over in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, this is when Philip was preaching in Samaria. And there was all kinds of things happening there. God was coming down and people were getting saved and healed, and just amazing stuff was happening. And with all this going on, it says there in Acts 8:8, there was great joy in that city. What was the joy about? It was about salvation, about Jesus coming into hearts and lives. And people being free, people being changed, people experiencing deliverance and hope and help and strength and all that God offered to them. Now, I want us to pay attention to something. When we become Christians, when we yield our hearts to Christ, Christ comes in, we're born again, we are His, He shares His glory with us. I don't know how that strikes you, but that's just about more than I can handle. To think of a flawed, broken human being given the glory of God. Is an amazing thought. You say, well, yeah, come on. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. The God of all grace, remember, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's called us into that eternal glory through Christ. And then Jesus prays this. We looked at this verse already, but I want us to just pay attention here, because there's some things that happen here. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you've given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, he wants us to come and understand His glory. But we have to recognize something that's going on here. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. Back in the beginning. Remember this. If you take time from the beginning of the earth till the end of the earth, however long that is, you take that time and you put that up against eternity, you can't even find it on the timeline. It's not even a speck. It's you just can't compare it. So when we talk about beginning and ending, it's something we understand because we understand time. We live in fact, we can't understand eternity because we live in time. But when He talks about the beginning, in the beginning, when time began, was the Word. He was there. He was here in time. That's where He humbled Himself. And He went back into eternity. We need to understand that. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now just think about this. That light that shone from heaven to the angels was the light of life. The light of Christ. In Him was life. And the life became the light of men. And it flowed and continues to flow to us today. So remember that God was in Christ. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And pay attention here. Of his fullness, we've all received. From Christ, from his fullness, we've all received. Now, if we've believed, we received much more. But all mankind has been given light through Christ. When we receive that light, that life, that glory is shared with us in a wonderful way. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Pay attention. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he committed to us the word of reconciliation. You and I are going to share glory with Christ in eternity, but it's because he is our life now. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, he's talking about something that's going to happen, who is our life, that's now. When he will appear, that's going to happen, then you'll also appear with him in glory. You'll be part of that glory that he expresses and declares. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. Jesus is praying for us, for himself and for us, about that glory. And here's what he says. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This glory is flowing. It's bringing joy. And he is praying, Father, I want my brothers and sisters to be filled with your joy. And I want us to pay attention here, because this is also what he prays. The glory which you gave me, I have given them. For what purpose? Why has he brought the glory of God down to earth and given it to us? That they may be one. Are you sharing God's glory? Or are you hoarding it? Are you trying to keep it to yourself? This is a prayer that Jesus is praying for us. Father, the glory that you gave me, I have given them. I've done this while I'm here. That they may be one even as we are one. The whole family, the whole body. And Father, I will that they also, whom you've given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. We like that part. We like that idea of going and being with him and beholding his glory which was given him. But what about the part of being one? How well are we doing with that? He is worthy. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord. And this is something we're going to share together throughout eternity. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things for your pleasure. They are and were created. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have shown the light of heaven. We thank you that heaven came down in Jesus Christ. The glory, the fullness of the Godhead bodily came to earth and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, John says. And we're able to behold it through the scripture and through your presence in our lives. And Father, you've said that that glory brings your joy with it. You've said it's for us. You've shared it with us. Jesus expressed over and over how he has shared the glory that you gave him with your children here on earth. And he expressly prayed that we take that glory and use it for the purpose of bringing unity to your family. And Father, we ask that you help us to live that out. We thank you for that glory and for that joy, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.